just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
My thanks to Hooters for their continuing sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. And I also thank Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group for their continuing support. This is Season 7, Episode 36 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. This is the one we're going to give you here for Week 5. We did just one last week for Week 4 in advance of what I needed to do for Hurricane Ian. I was without power and internet for a while, and this week took me a while to catch up, and I have a golf tournament to host. Todd Wright Tour 38 is this weekend at Plantation Palms, so I'm just going to give you this one podcast this week. Thanks to Hooters. They paid for 55 podcasts here in Season 7. We are right on schedule, so this is your one podcast this week. But remember, if you have a personal fantasy football question, I will answer it via email personally, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Remember, I'm on social media at ToddWright2121 on Instagram, and on Twitter. Recording this on Wednesday morning, so factor that into when you actually listen to it, as it's before some of the key injury reports. I'm not going to go game by game this week. I'm going to mix it up a little bit because we're 4 weeks into your fantasy season, so we can start to look at some season numbers and who's getting the job done best. Who are the true QB1s? Not from last year's numbers, this year's numbers. Who are the first round picks who are absent from this discussion and why? So I'm going to run down based on my 21st century standard scoring settings that I use in both the Federation and the Foundation. Who's at the top of the boards for QBs, RBs, and pass catchers? Number one overall is Lamar Jackson, 109 points. I show him at. The Ravens have blown two enormous leads in games this year and losing to the Dolphins and the Bills. That's the Ravens' problem, not yours. Lamar Jackson, number one quarterback, number one producer in fantasy football through the first 4 weeks. Josh Allen, right there, number two, 6 points back of Lamar Jackson. Jalen Hurts, someone I obviously was very big on, talked up here on the podcast. Felt he was worth your investment this year as a QB early in the draft. The Eagles are unbeaten. Jalen Hurts at 92 points, QB3, overall 3. And Patrick Mahomes, I mean, pretty much on the strength of he's had one amazing game, one very good game, one good game, and one bad game. All that adds up to 85 points. Fourth best player overall in fantasy football, QB4. QB5 is Jared Goff. Amon-Ra St. Brown was Mr. Garbage Time at the end of last season. The entire Lions team is basically garbage time. They should be called garbage team. They're not going to win anything. They're playing fantasy football for us. We're going to talk about more Lions players in this podcast, but Jared Goff is sitting there at QB5 through the first 4 weeks, and I would imagine he's maybe made one fantasy start in your respective leagues. He wasn't playing in week one. I doubt he was playing in week two. The earliest someone stuck him in was week three, or maybe last week. And there he sits at QB5. The irony here is Matt Stafford is really struggling with the Rams, and Goff has it going for the Lions. Just saying. Granted, the Rams won a Super Bowl last year, so that checks all the right boxes. But at this point, Goff looks like the better, healthier quarterback within his respective offense than Stafford does with the Rams. I still think the Rams will get it figured out, but Stafford's problems and the Rams' offensive problems do lead to more suspicion that Stafford is disguising multiple injuries, not just a baseball elbow. Kyler Murray is sixth. No one has thrown more passes than Kyler Murray in the NFL. He's QB6. Justin Herbert is QB7. Likely the second quarterback off the board in most of your fantasy drafts. Herbert has more passing yards than anybody in the NFL. He's QB7. Joe Burrow is QB8. Bengals started 0-2. There was a lot of panic about what's wrong with the Bengals offense. Burrow is still QB8. So he is a starting fantasy quarterback, and the Bengals have won their last two. Geno Smith is QB9 with a very high accuracy percentage and completion percentage in Seattle. Geno is playing well. QB9 in my scoring settings. And QB10 is Carson Wentz. A lot of that is on the strength of a week two performance where I think he threw four touchdowns. Wentz at QB10, technically, he qualifies as a QB1. Let's just put it this way. I think if you played him last week, you probably aren't playing him again this week. Sure, it was against the Dallas Cowboys, but that really seems on the strength of just one game. But in terms of the season rankings, I have to acknowledge Carson Wentz is QB10. I have a feeling in four more weeks when we do this again, he was not going to be in the top 10. The highest-ranked non-quarterback in my scoring settings is Nick Chubb of the Cleveland Browns. Just keeps chubbing along. 80 points, 9 better than Saquon Barkley, who has produced for a New York Giant team that is 3-1, only loss within the division to the Dallas Cowboys. Top three in the NFC East. For those of you who consistently bash the NFC East as the worst division in football, through a month, top three in the NFC East are 10-2. And one of the two losses is within those three. The only loss to an outsider was the opening game with the Cowboys against the Bucks. That's it. Eagles 4-0, Cowboys 3-1 without Dak, Giants 3-1. Saquon Barkley, a big reason, because the Giants' run defense is not good. Saquon Barkley is the reason they're 3-1, and he's RB2. As Javonte Williams went down, the new Jay Will in fantasy is in Detroit because DeAndre Swift has been out. Detroit's Jay Williams is RB3 with 67 points. So look at the Lions. Goff, QB5. Williams, RB3. And that was someone who was drafted in the late rounds or picked up on waivers. Probably after week two. Right? Because one game, Goff threw for a bunch in week one, but then the Lions did most of their damage on the ground in week two. I'm guessing Williams may have been a waiver claim for some of you coming out of week two, and there he sits at RB3. Granted, we're only a month in, but he's RB3. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is RB4. Some of you didn't even start him last week, but other than Kelsey, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is someone who's getting key touches and scoring opportunities. He sits at RB4. Those of you complaining about Derrick Henry, I told you last week, shut the fuck up. I'm going to tell you the same thing again today. Derrick Henry, RB5, 58 points. Shut the fuck up. He's top five running back, despite your complaints. Miles Sanders, even with Jalen Hurts being QB3, Miles Sanders is RB6. There's not as much trickle down and rotation in the Eagles running backs early in the season, as there has been, and maybe this is just the best Miles Sanders we've seen to this point in his pro career. He's RB6, just 1 point behind Derrick Henry. Cordarrelle Patterson, the legend continues, but it's now on hold because he's hurt, and he's going to be out multiple weeks. But Patterson, RB7 through the first 4 weeks of the fantasy season. Best offensive player for the Falcons. They play the Bucs this weekend. There's been an adjustment of the line. There's been more money on the Falcons. They went from a double-digit underdog to a single-digit underdog. I think it's a get-right spot for Brady and the Bucs. The Falcons will be without their best offensive player in Patterson. And Marcus Mariota had a key fumble in the game last week, and then he was basically under orders from his head coach not to throw the ball or hold the ball. They ran it, I think, the next 16 plays, even without Patterson. So Mariota may be on a very short leash. The next in line is the rookie from Cincinnati, Desmond Ridder. This feels like the beginning of the end of any talk that the Falcons are a playoff team. They got 2-2 through their first two games. They've been competitive, but a lot of signs point to problems coming to Tampa Bay in week 5. Josh Jacobs, his snap count, his involvement just keeps going up. This is like the first two seasons of Josh Jacobs in the NFL under John Gruden. Jacobs comes in at RB7. Khalil Herbert, basically off two games. Granted, we only have a four-game sample size here. But Khalil Herbert, who you know I love, RB8 through the first 4 weeks of fantasy play. Then James Robinson, even with an awful game. But, you know, who didn't have an awful game? Although the Jags hung around against the Eagles in horrible weather in Philadelphia in week 4, James Robinson, despite the bad game, RB9 through 4 weeks. And then did I skip someone there? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I only ranked 11. I don't know why I did that. Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Who did I skip? Hang on. Henry, 5. Sanders, RB6. Patterson, RB7. Sorry. Jacobs, RB8. Khalil Herbert, RB9. James Robinson, RB10. Run CMC has paid off for those of you who invested in him, but now you're dealing with that sort of week 1. It's like, why isn't he touching the ball more? And now week 4, you were dealing with, how injured is he? And, the Matt Rhule offense is still a mess. He's still coached by Matt Rhule. He's still hurt. It looks like a sell high to me at RB11 for Run CMC. And then Aaron Jones is RB12, despite A.J. Dillon's heavy involvement in Green Bay. Aaron Jones still is essentially and producing like an RB1 or a high RB2 at 51 points. There's your top 12 running backs in production through the first 4 weeks. Let's go to pass catchers. Stephon Diggs, number one, with 65 points. Cooper Kupp. Even with the Rams' problems, Cooper Kupp is 1 point back of being the best wide receiver in fantasy football at 64 points. Then Tyreek Hill, he's had two great games and two bad games, just like Kansas City. But they balance out. So in the end, he's wide receiver 3, even with two very limited involvement games. Jaylen Waddle, his teammate, is wide receiver 4. Now you're saying, well, without Tua going forward, what does this mean? I think it hurts Waddle more than it hurts Hill. It's just my first thought here. Because Waddle's been great. And it just feels like Teddy might be able to throw more of the routes that Hill runs better than Tua can. We'll see how that plays out. Justin Jefferson is 5. Again, two very good games, two poor games, similar to Hill. Trust me, I own them both. Then Travis Kelce, first tight end, jumps in there. Travis Kelce, 52 points. He is wide receiver slash tight end 6. Then Christian Kirk, who was very consistent his first three games, like most Jaguars, didn't produce against the Eagles, undefeated team. Kirk gets a pass in week 4. He's pass catcher 7. Amon-Ra St. Brown didn't play week 4, still in the strength of what he did the previous few weeks, but you need to keep checking injury status here. Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver, tight end 8. So you've got a Lion at QB5, RB3, and it isn't Swift, and wide receiver slash tight end 8. That's what the Lions are doing. They're playing fantasy football for us. Devontae Adams, wide receiver slash tight end 9. A.J. Brown, wide receiver slash tight end 10. T.J. Hockenson. You know, Matthew Berry made a big point, I think it was a week ago, saying we have a new tight end 1, and it's Mark Andrews. And my first response to that was, Matthew, where you been? Mark Andrews was tight end 1 last year. In my scoring settings, Andrews outpointed Kelce. He was wide receiver tight end 6. Kelce was wide receiver tight end 12. Matthew Berry might need to rethink that again this week, because Hockenson looks like tight end 2 to me based on my numbers. Now, Andrews isn't far off, but there are two guys above Andrews in terms of just specifically the tight end position. Hockenson off a huge game. So there's another Lion playing fantasy football for us at wide receiver tight end 11 in my settings. And then you close with Debo getting those rushing attempts. Spectacular catch and run in the Monday night game against the Rams. Debo putting up wide receiver 1 numbers. He is wide receiver 10 in my scoring settings. So playing off the Foundation League and what everybody picked in the first round, let's see who's missing. The right now isn't putting up the numbers that their owners expected on the investment. Jonathan Taylor was picked number 1 in 80% to 95% of fantasy drafts. He is not a top 12 running back right now, and he may not play week 5. Now, by the time you listen to this, the Thursday night game might have been played. He might have played. All this might change. Remember, we're recording this on Wednesday morning, and at this point, he looks questionable for Thursday night. But he's not in the top 12 running backs in terms of fantasy production through the first 4 weeks. Derrick Henry has paid off. There's Cooper Kupp. Austin Eckler just bubbled up this past week. It was a very bad week 3, and a lack of production the first 2 weeks. Eckler has bubbled up. He's not in the top 12, but he's close to the top 12. CMC paying off. Jamar Chase not there. As the Bengals get right the last 2 weeks, it's been more T. Higgins, who's a wide receiver 2 and putting up wide receiver 2 numbers. Chase is not putting up wide receiver 1 numbers. Justin Jefferson is there. Joe Mixon not producing RB1 numbers for his owners. Devontae Adams is producing wide receiver 1 numbers through a month. Najee Harris has the volume. Hopefully the switch to Kenny Pickett helps get Harris going. Nick Chubb is RB1 for those who invested in him. And again, the captain leads the podcast league for a lot of reasons. Not sure why he picked up so many quarterbacks this week, considering who he has. Considering who he has at the quarterback position, yeah, I guess I see what he's doing. But he got Nick Chubb with the 26th pick in the podcast league draft. And Chubb is RB1. Chubb went 11th in the Foundation League draft. Sean Wetherington is one of 2 unbeatens in the Foundation. He's won 2 Jimmy McGinty trophies. The other unbeaten is the Doc, Dr. Steven Reeder from USF, who clearly does his job, knows football better than the USF head coach or the coaching staff. Dr. Steven Reeder, also unbeaten. They play each other this week in a titanic week 5 battle. The Jimmy McGinty trophy in my Foundation League has been awarded for 7 years. Dr. Reeder and Sean Weatherington are not only 4-0 and 4-0 playing each other this week in the Foundation, they combine for over half of the Jimmy McGinty trophies awarded in our league. This is a big week. I wouldn't be surprised if NBC flexes Dr. Steven Reeder versus Sean Weatherington into the Sunday night game this week on NBC because of how great the matchup is. A lot of respect to the Doc and to Sean for how well they play consistently in the Foundation. And I'm just happy one of you bastards have to lose this week. Where am I? Oh, Dalvin Cook was the last pick of the first round of the Foundation draft, and he's also not right now in the top 12 of running back production based on my scoring settings. We'll leave it there. Email me with any of your personal fantasy questions. You'll get two more podcasts from me likely next week. Thank you for listening to Season 7, Episode 36 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters, Bill Curry Ford, and Brandon Legal Group.